Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman for the Orthodox Union. As always, it is great to be back with each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining today's anniversary program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Sheni, the second day of the month of Nisan. Every day we gather here to recite Tehillim together, to learn Torah together, and to strengthen one another is special. However, today is extra special. Today we commemorate, and I would even say celebrate, the one-year anniversary of this extraordinary program. What makes this program extraordinary is you, the incredible people who day in and out take the time out of your schedule to convene together from around the world, from America, Canada, Eretz Yisrael, Germany, and France, to be mispalel, to pray for those in need, and to uplift ourselves through the Torah that we learn together. Over this past year, we've had the great honor and privilege to learn together with rabbis representing pulpits from shuls and communities across North America. Since June, when we introduced the interview segment, we've had the opportunity to, so to speak, travel to these communities, large and small, to learn about our Jewish brethren there and what makes them so special and unique. A little history. The first Tehillim and Chizuk phone call was put together last minute on a Friday, March 13th, 2020. Without any prep or planning, we asked Rabbi Moshe Hamler, who at the time was the incoming executive vice president of the OU, to speak. However, it was our intention for this program to feature our wonderful shul-based rabbis as the highlight of these calls. At the peak of the pandemic, Rabbi Ariel Leibowitz was incredibly gracious to give us his time and to share remarkable words of Torah with us. Who could imagine then that this program would still be occurring? I for sure didn't. While none of us at that time knew what to expect, I assumed then that this program would continue for a week, two, three at best, and yet here we are a year later and remarkably still averaging 500-plus callers a day from around the world. As I mentioned, while these calls highlight our truly amazing rabbis, and they have been incredible throughout this crisis, guiding our communities with unwavering superhuman strength and outstanding leadership in the most challenging of times for this generation. However, the stars of these calls are you. Our dearest callers, thank you for being here and for all that you do. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Ariel Leibowitz, a Beis HaKnesses of North Woodmere in North Woodmere, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Leibowitz slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Peret, Chaf Gimel, Kuf, Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and as always, will be followed by the Mishabirach, Lecholim, and Achinu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Leibowitz to learn more about his wonderful community in North Woodmere, and I'll add that this has been an exceptionally special week for Rabbi Leibowitz's special community, and I hope that he will share some of the highlights with us. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Leibowitz.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Herman. It's wonderful to be back to share Torah and learn and say some Tehillim together with this remarkable group that continues to come together day after day. It's really a great honor indeed. We contemplate at this time of year where we were a year ago, and we think about the Yom Tov of Pesach that's coming up and what it looked like last year when the Yom Tov of Pesach was coming up, and we realize indeed how far we've come. There's a beautiful Dvar Torah, a beautiful idea that appears in the Sefer Darash Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein's drashos that he gave in different contexts. And in one of those drashos, in one of those sermons, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that we've just concluded a section on the calendar where we read four different special haftoros, four different special sections of the Torah and of the Navi that that we read at the end of the Shabbos morning reining. And the first one was Parsha Shkalim, which we reined before Rosh Chodesh Adar. And the second one was Parsha Zachar, which we reined before Purim. And then Parshas Para. And then finally this past week was Parshas HaChodesh. And Rav Moshe points out that there's a good reason why each one is read when it is read. After all, Shkalim is supposed to be read before Chodesh Adar when they would collect the shekel, when people would go, when they would make the collection in the Beis HaMikdash for the communal sacrifices. And Zachar, to remember the evils of Amalek and that horrible nation that tried to destroy us, certainly makes sense to read before Purim. And it makes sense to read Parah when we do and HaChodesh when we do as well. But Rav Moshe explained that it can't just be a coincidence that there are only four times the whole year where we add this special maftir, we add something unusual into our Shabbos morning laning, and that there's no connection, inherent connection between them, that they just all coincidentally happen to fall out within 5 weeks of each other. It must be that there's an inherent connection. And Rav Moshe Feinstein points out the inherent connection can probably best be explained based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, the prophet Jeremiah in the ninth parak of Yirmiyahu in the ninth chapter explains that Al Yisrael Chacham B'Chachmaso Gibor B'Gvuraso V'Ashir B'Ashro, that there are a lot of times that people in life think that the definition of success is something that it is certainly not. People sometimes feel that if they are very wise, they're very smart, they have a high IQ, that they are therefore better than somebody else. People sometimes feel that if they are a gibor, if they are very strong, they are very mighty, they are very powerful, very influential, that they are somehow better than somebody else. People sometimes feel that if they are very wealthy, they have more money than other people, that they are therefore more successful and better than somebody else. And the Navi tells us, no, Ela Bezos Yishalel HaMishalel. If you want to be praised about something, you need to find something indeed praiseworthy. And that is Haskel V'Yodea Osi. A person should come to a knowledge of God, a connection to God Almighty. And only through that does one actually become great. So Moshe Feinstein explains that's what these four parshios come to represent. We read Parsha Shkalim where the message is that no matter how wealthy or poor you are, everybody gives the same amount of money, the same half of shekel. It doesn't matter in the eyes of God whether you're wealthy or poor. We read Parsha Zachar that tells us that a mighty nation like Amalek, a much more powerful nation than the beaten and battered Jewish people coming out of Mitzrayim, were defeated by the Jewish people. Because it doesn't matter how powerful you are, there is only one power in this world, and that is God himself. We read Parshas Parah to remind us that no matter how brilliant you are, there are certain things that are beyond human comprehension. Indeed, the laws of Parah Aduma are beyond human comprehension. The wisest of all men, King Shlomo, was unable to understand the laws of Parah Aduma. And that's what brings us finally to Parshat HaChodesh, which we read this past week, a reminder that if we really want to connect to God in this upcoming Yom Tov of Pesach, we really want to make sure that our priorities are in order so that we'll be able to express to our children and grandchildren what Jewish values truly are, we'll remind ourselves of the mitzvos of the Torah, of the connection to Hashem through performance of His will and His command. And that's why we read HaChodesh, which is the very first mitzvah the Jewish people were commanded on as a nation. When we look back at this past year, it was never clearer to us that no matter how wealthy or poor you are, nobody was more equipped or less equipped to fight this terrible virus. Wealthy, wealthy, powerful, and brilliant people were left to die alone in a hospital in a matter of days sometimes. And it didn't matter how smart and advanced we thought we were as a society or how powerful a nation we are. Look how many people were lost. And at the end of the day, we know that it's all up to God himself. And what will bring about the end of this terrible pandemic, as we're beginning to see the end, hopefully, God willing, with the help of the vaccine that God has given the wisdom to be able to develop, as we're beginning to see the end of it, we realize that what truly brings the end to the pandemic is God himself and our reaching out to God through this daily tefillah, these daily chapters of Tehillim, is ultimately going to prove the most successful way to defeat this terrible pandemic. We're now going to recite some chapters of Tehillim. I'm going to start with Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmar leDavid, Adonai Roi Lo Echsar, Binos Tesha Yarditzeni, Almei Menuchos Yinahaleni, Nafshi Yeshovev Yancheni B'Magle Tzedek L'ma'an Shema, Gam Ki Eilech B'Geit Salmaves Lo Irara Ki Ata Imadi, Shistecha U'Meshantecha Heima Yinachamuni, Ta'aroch L'Fanai Shulchan Neged Tzorirai, Tishanta V'Shemen Roshi Kosi Revaya, Achto V'Chesed Yudifuni Kol Yemei Chayai, V'Shafti B'Veif Adonai Li'Orech Yamin. Tehillim Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph, chapter 121. Shir L'Malos Esayinai Elorim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri, Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'aretz, Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomrecha, Hine Lo Yanum Velo Yishan Shomer Yisrael, Adonai Shomrecha, Adonai Tzilcha Al Yad Yiminecha, Yomam HaShemesh Lo Yakeka V'Yareach Balayla, Adonai Yishmarcha Mikol Ra Yishmar Es Nafshecha, Adonai Yishmar Tzeischa Uvalecha Me'ata V'Ad Olam. Tehillim Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir HaMa'alos Mima'amakim Kirasicha Adonai, Adonai Shim'o V'Koli Tihiyena Oznecha Kashuvos L'Kol Tachanunai, Im Avonos Tishmar Ya Adonai Mi Ya'amod, Ki imcha hasulicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki visi Adonai ki l'fa nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomrin l'boker, shomrin l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai achesed v'arbei imo fedus. V'hu yifteh es Yisrael Mikol Avonasov, Misha Berech Avosenu Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron David Shlomo, V'yivorech Es HaCholim. Ba'avor shekol hakal mispalim ba'avram, b'schar zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu yimaleh rachmim aleihem, lachlimam ulraposam ulachazikam ulachayosam, v'yishlach la meheir rufuah shleima min ha'shamayim, b'chol ivrayim u'chol gidayim, rufuah senefesh urufuah saguf, hashta bagalov zman kriv v'nomar amein.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Leibowitz. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Oh, Baruch Hashem, we're doing okay. We're doing very well. Obviously, the beginning of the pandemic, as it was for most of us, was much, much harder. We had some major losses in our community, and several community members suffered losses. My wife lost her grandfather. But things have been much quieter. Now it's more about the nuisances of protocols and the like and quarantining, when travel and things of that nature. But other than that, we're doing quite well as a community.
We're certainly happy to hear that. So to get us started for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, and this was a very big weekend for your shul, would it be possible to give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
Yeah, sure. We in North Woodmere are part of the greater Five Towns community, which, as most of you know, is one of the largest Orthodox communities in America. Our shul in North Woodmere, which was an underserved part of the Five Towns community when we started our shul about 16 years ago. And we just completed our new building a few months ago. And we just had a remarkable Chanukah Sabayis weekend where we invited scholars from all over and had programming in person, on Zoom, for those who are unable or unwilling to come in person. And we really put together an all-star lineup. It wasn't really me. It was some fellows from the community who really made this happen. And we had a major fundraising campaign that hopefully will serve to finish off the new shul in a beautiful, beautiful way. It was extremely successful. And most importantly, we were privileged to name our new building for a dear friend of ours who passed away at the very beginning of the pandemic at the age of 42. And just it really rattled us and shook us. And now we have the comfort of knowing that all of our davening that we're going to be doing in our new shul, in our new building, is going to be a merit for him and for his family.
Beautiful. Wow. Next question, Rabbi Leibowitz. What motivated, what drove and propelled you to go into the rabbinate? You wear multiple hats at YU as well, but more specifically, become a pulpit rabbi.
I never really thought that I would go into teaching. My plan was to either go to become a pulpit rabbi or to become a lawyer. That was always my plan growing up. I never thought I'd be a very good teacher, so I didn't think that that would work out. I didn't even think of it. That the opportunities came up. But I saw great rabbis growing up, my own teachers, my own rebbeim. And I just appreciated the value that they added to the Jewish people. And I look around today and I see you could look at your list of people that you've had speak to this group over the course of the year. There are such wonderful rabbis out there in the country. And I think people see that and they feel that if they can try to become something like that, why not? You know, if I can contribute to the Jewish people in that way, if I can serve God's children in that way, I would love to do it. I didn't always think it would be possible to do it, so I applied to law school and went through that process also. But eventually offers came up within Jewish communal service, and I always thought that would be I was more suited for that if opportunities arose.
Amazing. Well, I think on behalf of many, we're certainly grateful that you went into chinuch and into the rabbinate as opposed to law. Certainly those of us who are able to listen to you on YU Torah and other platforms are the beneficiaries.
I'm reminded that Rav Schachter always says that he didn't go to law school. He went to he was planning on going to law school, and then Rav Aaron Lichtenstein told him that he should stay in yeshiva. And he used to always tell us, if you don't like my shiurim, go complain to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. It's his fault. I could have been a lawyer.
Wow. Unbelievable. Last question for the day, Rabbi Leibowitz. The world's changed so much due to the pandemic, and we've seen so many changes in our community over the past year. Technological advances, being able to, for example, I was able to watch our Rav from here in Boca, watch him on the platform yesterday when he spoke at your shul, and just being able to participate in ways that might not have existed in the past. But when we think about the norms, the new norms, and all the different changes that our communities have and will continue to experience as we emerge from this, and as you alluded to earlier, there is light at the end of the tunnel with the rollout of the vaccines, and that certainly for those who have not been able to participate will be able to do much more now. What communal changes do you anticipate for your shul, for your community, and perhaps the broader Jewish community as we look to the future?
I think that there are like two categories. There's that which we hope changes, and that which we realistically can assume will change. You know, I think we all hope, certainly amongst my rabbinic colleagues, that a bar mitzvah boy going forward will be happy to have the opportunity just to lane for his family and daven with a minyan, and will not need or demand or require, or his family will not require all of the bells and whistles that come along with the celebration sometimes that don't always reflect what the core element of the day is, which is
I didn't have a logo for my bar mitzvah. I think it was on the inside of the yarmulke. It was the
And it just, you know, the bar kept on getting raised and raised and raised. And we were actually able to see over the course of the year, bar mitzvah boys who didn't know if they were going to be able to learn their bar mitzvah parsha. And when they were able to do so in a backyard with a mask on and nine other people, they were thrilled because they didn't know that they would even be able to do that. And to see that you can be happy with that too. And not that that's the way it should be, but you can be happy with that too. Couples, young couples who didn't know that they'd be able to have their own siblings at their wedding. And when they have that, they were thrilled to be able to have, to be able to get married, because ultimately that's what a wedding is. So I think we're hopeful that, you know, that that attitude at least will remain, although we remain skeptical that that will change long term. Obviously what's clear that's going to change is, the ability to use technology to reach out to people who are homebound, to allow for participation in life cycle events from long distances, and things of that nature. I'm hopeful, that we will be wise enough to still realize the great value of an in-person experience. You mentioned that your great rabbi, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, spoke in my shul yesterday. When I reached out to him, his first response was, okay, I'll do a Zoom share. And I said, no, we want you here. We want you to come here. But, oh, it's really hard to support Pesach. But he ultimately did it. And I can't even describe to you the electricity in the room when Rabbi Goldberg gave an in-person shiur. Now, everyone in the room listens to him all the time and sees him on, well, he's no longer Zooming, but on the YouTube, you know, and whatever they
behind
call it,
the
live stream. The behind the Beam, I know the name of the podcast, but he has the platform that they do is, whatever, a YouTube live stream. They see him all the time. They hear him all the time. Having an in-person experience is entirely different. People came over to me yesterday and they said, we felt so exhilarated. It was exhilarating. And I hope that people recognize the value of that. I think people do. I think people yearn for it. And we're going to learn how to balance that, how to use technology to our advantage and to help those who really need it. And yet at the same time, bring back that in-person experience with all of the energy that it brings.
And I certainly agree. It's amazing to have these opportunities for those who really cannot make it for whatever reason, especially with smachot, if someone's on the other side of the world, whatever it might be, that they can participate in some way. But nothing replaces the in-person experience. And as you just mentioned, the electricity in the room, certainly so. Rabbi Leibowitz, thank you so much for being on the call with us today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered, l'tova, for good, and may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the Master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Moshe Ruby, Knesset Israel Congregation in Birmingham, Alabama. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.